Sagt der Mishnah weiter, mit sagt es hat das Perik Vav Mishnah Beis, Koivrei HaMeis. These people were on their way to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of burying a Meis, Chesed Shel HaMeis, and they were about to pass through some type of a covered porch, so Yoivrim Bek Sadra. So the word Aksadra appears many times in Mishnayos. We've had it many times. But basically, it's an open area with a roof. In our Mishnah, the Aksadra is right in front of the door of a house. Now, if you're going to have a mess underneath the Aksadra, and the door of the house is open, the tumah is going to spread throughout underneath the roof of this Aksadra, and it's going to go into the house, subsequently being metama whatever's in the house. Okay, so what's the shaila? Everything in the house is tummy. Well, what happened in our mission, as the Batanura explains it, is the Levaya is proceeding, and one of the people accompanying the mess runs ahead, and he was able to close the door before the actual meat of the mess was brought underneath the roof of the Aksadra. He did so to prevent the Tumah from coming in. He also locked the door so that it should stay locked. And now the Mishnah is going to tell us a very interesting halach. So once again, Koivrei HaMeis, they're accompanying the meat of the Meis, Shoyoivrim Be'Aksadra. They're passing underneath this rooftop, the open area with the roof. The Heg of Echad Mehen, and one of the people being Malav of the Meis, quickly closed as Adela's the door, before the Meis itself was brought underneath the Aksadra. U'Semachai B'Mavteach. So literally, Samech means to lean on. So it sounds like he leaned something against the door to close it. But the Mefarshim explained that what it means is, he pushed, locked the door, should stay closed. Zakta Mishnah. Im yachal adelis lamoid bifnei atzmai. If this door would have remained closed without him closing the lock. Tahar. But the imlav, if this was the type of door that would have opened by itself, the only reason it stayed closed is because he locked it, then the din is tameh. So again, let me understand this. He ran ahead. He said, oh, the mess is soon going to be underneath the Aksadra. It's going to be metama, everything inside the house. He ran ahead, closed the door, and then he locked it. Why did he lock it? Sometimes you lock it to keep it closed. If not, it would swing open. Sometimes it's the type of door that would have clicked into place and stayed closed anyway. He locked it to make sure no one opens it the last minute, right? Someone's going to say, ooh, let me see the Levaya. Open up the door and boom, right? The whole house becomes tummy. So he wanted to lock it. Sakta Mishnah, im yachal adeles lamoid bifnei atzmoi. If the door would have stayed closed, even if he didn't lock it, tar. But the imlav, if the only reason the door stayed closed is because he locked it, that was the type of door, without locking it, the door would have swung open, tame. Why? Because that means that basically it's the lock that's keeping the door closed. And the rule is, as the Batanura explains, like we learned in the previous Mishnah, that ein adam v'kelim nasim oylim l'tayr. Neither an adam or a keli can be the source of blocking tumah. Wait, in the previous Mishnah we learned that the roof of an oil, if a person is the oil or a keli is the oil, doesn't block tumah. But here you have a door. Okay, but the door is useless without the lock. The door would open if not for the lock. So it's the lock that's actually blocking. The lock is a keli, and a keli cannot block tumah. So it's interesting that Tosfos Yom Tov brings a little bit of a different shot from the Rambam. Actually, it's a very different shot. That we're talking about where the person ran ahead and he held the door closed. He physically held the door closed. Like he kept the lock in place. He like bolted it shut and held on to the lock. So why was he holding on to it? Was it because it was a poorly designed lock or whatever it was? If he would let go, it would open? So who's really blocking the tumah? It's the person, not the door. Was it the type of lock that would have kept the door in place? Even though he's leaning on the door to close it, but it's the door that's blocking the tumah, and that would have worked to block the tumah. As I learned, the Rambam. Take a look here in the Tosfos Yom Tov. Either way, let's go on weiter. V'chein ezei eichet zok de Mishnah. Chav yishal groigris. This is basically going to be the same halacha, but different players. Here we have a barrel. Chavias is a barrel. Shel groigrois of dried figs. A kupa or a box. Tevin of straw. Shein asunais, they were placed b'chaloyin in a window. The window is between two rooms, and one of the rooms has a mace. Zakt deheilige Mishnah im yecholin hagroigris v'hateven lamid b'fnei atzman. Let's say the dried figs, or the straw, was not in a barrel, but it's packed so tight that you just stuffed them without the barrel into the window, it would have stayed in place. So then it effectively works as a chatzitza, as a cutoff that the tumah can't pass through. And whatever is in the other cheder, the one that doesn't have the mace, tahayin would stay tahar. But the imlav, if the dried figs in the straw is not packed so tight, and without the barrel, it would simply come tumbling down. So what's keeping things in place? What's really blocking the window? The barrel. And a keli can't block tumah, therefore tumah. Now here's going to be one of those rare instances where I'm going to tell you that I hope that these dried figs are rotten. I hope they're fresh, you mean? No. I hope they're rotten. They have to be einar roi l'achilas adam or behema. Same as to be with the straw. The straw had to rot. Why would I want them to rot? Because then I know I'm going to leave it in the window. I have no purpose for it. So if I put them in the window, I'm putting it in as insulation. I plan for it to stay there. But if they're still royally achila, if you can still eat it, you didn't put it in to block the window. You're keeping it there like on a shelf. But you're going to take it as soon as you need it. And therefore, it wouldn't be a chatzitza before the Tumah, says the Batanura. And the Taisus Yamtiv adds even more over here. He says, in the case of the straw, even after it rots, I guess straw rots, but it rots to the point where the behemoth wouldn't be interested in it, it has to be that there are thorns inside and that it's moist. Because if there are no thorns, you can still use it. You can mix it into lime. You step on it, you mix it into lime, and that's how they make bricks. And if it's totally dry, you can use it as fire fuel. But if it's wet, rotten, and it has thorns inside, there's nothing you can use it for. The behemoth will need it because it's rotten. You can't put it in the bricks because of the thorns. And you can't use it for fire fuel because it's moist. So at least the dried figs have to just plain be rotten. The teven has to be rotten, moist, and full of thorns. That's when I know I'm leaving it there. And even then, it has to be that I could remove the chavias and these dried figs or straw would stay in the window. This person made a wall in his house of jugs. Jugs made out of earthenware. Maybe you've seen people make a wall out of Lego. Maybe you've seen people make a wall out of milk cartons, or the milk crates, rather. He made a wall out of kankanim. He lined them up on their side, from the floor until the roof. The opening of these kankanim point to where the mace is. But of course, you're going to have a lot of ear spaces. So v'tach, he smeared the open spaces. He filled them in. B'tiach, with some type of plaster. And he did this from the inside and from the outside. Now the Batanura makes it clear here that had the back of the kankanim been toward the room with the mace, and the opening of the kankanim would have been toward the room that doesn't have the mace. And these are klicheres. Klicheres don't become tummy from the outside. So the kankanim themselves, if you packed them properly, could have been a chatzitza before the tum. But that's not going to work here because the opening of the kankanim faces the mace. So the tumah goes into the kankan. The klicheres does become tummy from the inside. The only thing is he smeared plaster here, so maybe the plaster itself should be like a wall. So zak the Mishnah, it depends. How thick was that plaster? Im yachol hatiach lamed b'fnei atzmai. This plaster that he smeared up the kankanim with, if you would remove the kankan, would the plaster stay in place? Then tahar. Because forget the kankanim, I have the tiach, I have the plaster. But v'im lav, if the tiach would not stay in place, knows if I take out these jugs, the plaster crumbles, then it's tummy. So it's not the plaster, it's the jugs. And the jugs won't do the job over here of being mafsik v'toma. So chazing of what we learned in the Mishnah, we have the levaya coming through over here, and it looks like they're going to pass with the mace under an exadra, which is in front of an open door to a house. One of the people being Malava the Mace ran ahead, closed the door, and he locked it. Or it could be, according to the other Pshat, he leaned on the door. Either way, if this door would have stayed closed on its own, without the lock. It may have not been locked, but it would have stayed closed on its own. Without the lock or without the person leaning on it, he saved whatever is in the house in the coming time. But if the only reason the door is closed is because of the lock or the person leaning on it, neither a person or kelim could block tumah. Like we learned in the Mishnah, a person and kelim can act as an oil to bring tumah, but not to be chaitzis b'fnei tumah. Then we had a case where we had two houses. One of them had a kezayis menames. There was a window in between them. And he totally closed it. Either he totally closed it or closed it up to the point where it's less than a tefach. So our Mishnah told us he put in chaviyasin full of either dried figs or straw. So if the dried figs and straw were packed so tightly that even without the chaviyas, it would have stayed in place, it acts as a chatzitza. It blocks the tumah. But if without the chaviyas, the dried figs or the straw would fall down, so it's the chaviyas that's doing the blocking, and the keli, in this case, will not be able to block the tumah. And the Batanura told us, no. Here we need the dry figs to be rotten, and the straw is even more complicated. It has to be rotten so the behemoth shouldn't eat it. It has to be wet so you can't use it for fire fuel or moist. It has to have thorns so you can't use it for plaster or lime or brick, whatever they used to mix it into. How do we know they use straw to mix into bricks? Remember what Pari said to the Yidden? Now go find your own straw and make your own bricks, and you can't deduct the amount? Need the same bricks as when we supply the straw? Now, why do we want the figs and the straw to be useless? And the answer is because this way he's going to leave it there as insulation. Or be mavatalit, for whatever reason. If it's things that he's going to use, we don't consider it a chatzitza because he could take it back at any moment. If in his mind it's something he's not going to leave there, it's not a chatzitza. Then we spoke about a person who made a wall in between two houses out of kankanim. He lined them up. And then we have in one room, meaning on one side of the kankanim, there's the mace. Question is whether on the other side it's tar. The kankanim are with their openings facing the mace. If it was the other way, the bottom of the kankan was facing the mace. So that's the gav of a klei cheres, that's not makabel tumah. That would have been a hefsek. But because it's with the opening of the mace, so the kankanim for sure are not going to be mafsek. What he does, however, is he smears it with some kind of plaster. Smears the inside and the outside with some kind of plaster. So the question is like this. How thick is that plaster? How sturdy is that plaster? How strong is it? If I'm going to remove the kankan and the plaster is going to fall down, come crumbling down, so the plaster itself is not a wall. It's only the kankanim. The kankanim won't work here to be a chatzitza. But if the plaster is thick enough, strong enough, sturdy enough, that even if I were to remove the kankanim, the plaster would stay, so the plaster serves as a chatzitza. And whatever's in the other room, not in the room with the mace, on the other side of these kankanim and plaster, would be tahar.